Amen. You can give me my screen now, guys. You know that word prepared? Pastor Sue, come on up and help me and join me. We're going to kind of tag team it here a little bit. That word prepared, you know, it resonated because what we were talking about was we need to be prepared, start there, and then we need to prepare a generation for the second coming of Christ. Just like John the Baptist was came in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the people for the first coming of Christ, the Bible says that we are. Now, the church is that spirit and power of Elijah to prepare people for the second coming. And the opening night, Pastor Jeff, you know, he was talking about the armor of God. Every night was connected to prepare and build up and bring the youth someplace. But that opening night, he was talking about the armor of God, and he told a story I won't ever forget. He said at their home, his wife heard something that sounded like an intruder in the middle of the night, and she woke him up and said, "Hey, there's somebody out there. You know, go see what's going on." Got him out of bed, and he said he got out in his underwear, and he grabbed his pillow, you know, to go take care of the intruder. And he doesn't know why he grabbed the pillow, but he said he didn't have a gun. He didn't have anything else. He grabbed his pillow. He said he was rather unprepared to deal with an intruder, you know. And he started talking about how we need to be prepared, you know, with spiritual tools in this day. And it was just one after the other, you know, gave a tremendous message about preparation. And Pastor Sue had up above the top here in big letters, you can see on the screen, "Are you ready? Are you ready?" What was on your heart when you came out with that, Pastor?
I wanted them to read that every time they came in. To are you ready? To ask yourself that. Are you ready? Are you ready to reach the lost? Are you ready to be used by God? Are you prepared? Are you ready? And that's where it came from.
You know, you got to appreciate that this is a spirit-filled youth camp. We don't pull any punches. I mean, we teach and we have the youth praying in tongues. You know, I mean, there's no political correctness going on here. We're just coming out of the Word of God. But I was impressed by something that the second night, Deborah Ann, she preached, and she gave a statistic that I was shocked by, but not surprised. She said that there's been some research done on this, that kids that graduate from high school or college that have been churched, 80% of them don't go back to church. When they're given the opportunity to choose for themselves, 80% of them are not going back to church. And she said it's because, you know, they went to church and they went through all the motions, but they never encountered God at church. And, you know, I was thinking about that this morning when we were in praise and worship, and it wasn't going like it usually does, you know, one song after the other, and you do your three songs, you know, and it's ready to move on. And there was just words coming forth. And, you know, what we're going for here is a God encounter. If we can create an environment, an atmosphere in which you can receive and God can rise up in our midst. Isn't that what we want? Hallelujah. That's what we want. And that's what the youth want too. You guys got pretty inspired this week. Stephen, what motivates you when you start making declarations?
I'm not sure if it's really me that's motivated. I just kind of open my mouth and things fall out. I don't really, you know. But it's definitely, it's when, you know, this whole altar's full and you can, it's a tangible movement that's happening. Uh-huh. And there's, it always, you know, some of the people need a little bit more. They're just right on the skirt of it, right on the edge of it. They just need to take that first step.
Yeah.
And I'm there to yell at them until they get there.
Bianca, you're hearing the word of the Lord. You're playing the keyboard and you're singing, and you're not performing. you're listening at the same time. How does that happen?
So a lot of the time when, you know, I'm worshiping, I like to close my eyes and, you know, this is how it should be is, you know, it's just you and the Lord. And, you know, if I feel like I'm supposed to say something, you know, we learned this in Kids of Flame, obedience brings the fire.
Yes.
And so, you know, I'm going to obey if I'm supposed to share something with someone. And, you know, that could be something that, you know, is confirmation for them and is life-changing. You know, I'm going to share it, so.
Yes, amen. You know, I'm so glad that you're willing and bold to do that because, you know, we've been taught this so much that death and life are in the power of the tongue. I mean, when you come to church, we should all be declaring the word of the Lord. That's what singing is. That's why we put the words on the screen and we declare it. Give me my screens again up there, because one thing that we declared today is we want revival now. We want your spirit poured out. We won't stop until we see it come. Wow. You know, Dad, and I'm always blessed to have my dad, our founder and apostle here. I'm going to go all the way back to January of 1955. My dad and mom were pastoring a Mennonite church up in northern Minnesota, a small church. But for an entire year, they were praying and believing for revival to come. And it came. When it came, it didn't come in a way that they expected, but it did come through teenagers. A lot of teenagers. And when it came, teenagers started falling off the pews. You know, that didn't seem very churchified, you know. We were a very conservative church, you know, sang in three-part harmony, didn't believe in instruments, especially not the drums. You know, got the devil in the drums, right? But we're praying and believing and declaring for a revival. And when you were Thursday night, you know, I didn't know you were going to sing that this morning, so I put together just a little clip from Thursday night when I was standing right over there where you are, Fernando, and they had sang this song, We Want Revival Now, and all the parts to it. And then all of a sudden, one of them got up and said, you know what? The Lord said, we're supposed to drop the music and just all make this declaration and sing it just with the voices seven times. And they got started, and I fumbled around, got my camera going, and put it up here. But, Dad, while I was doing that, the Lord told me that this was literally making a declaration of Acts 2, 17, and 18. Because what happened in our church back then, after a lot of young people were on the floor having visions and in some kind of a trance, they started coming out of the trance prophesying in English. I mean, they were speaking in tongues, but they started prophesying. The first young man that came out of that trance, he said, still with his eyes closed, laying on the floor, he said, turn in your Bibles to Acts 2, 17 and 18, and you shall understand. And my dad, he was a pastor. He ran for his Bible. He didn't know at that time what it said. And it says this, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and they shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And while this was going on, I want to show it up here. God was showing me that that's what they were doing, prophesying, amen, declaring it. And we got to declare it for it to happen. You know, can't just think about it, but we're not praying and asking for it. We're declaring it. It's here. Amen. And it's coming. Amen. There's more coming. Watch this. This was Thursday night.
Keep pushing.
Hallelujah. We want to all be making that declaration. Not just for our church, but for our community, for our nation, for the world. The glory of the Lord will be poured out upon the whole earth. Seven times. Marching around the walls of Jericho. We want those walls to come down.
We want your spirit poured out. We won't stop until we see it. Let's have the praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, this youth camp was more than fun and games. This was fun and games with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You guys were here. You were a part of this. And we want to see it continue, carry on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. My praise is a weapon. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want you to see the scripture in Acts 2 and verse 17 and 18. Hallelujah. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I believe that song makes a declaration and puts a demand on the promise of God. Because not only for the world and for the nation, but particularly for this church. If you read the book, Following the Fire, that gives the testimony, it's available online. It's available in our resource center back here as well, called Following the Fire, autobiography of my father about this revival that happened in January of 1955. You know, they said that the Holy Spirit said through many prophetic words that this revival was what they were receiving there was only like one and one half drops in a 10 quart pail in comparison to what God was going to do. Could it be that we're in that generation and in that time and we're going to see it? I've been preaching on the new normal, and you've been seeing a screen like this. I want to declare today that the new normal for youth in this church and youth on fire for God. Here it is, 1 Timothy 4:11. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. You have a full-grown Holy Spirit in you. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I declare that young people, they can set that example for their own parents, some of them. We were praying over some youth this week that were praying for their parents because their parents were away from the Lord or in a lot of strife. Be an example. Can young people be an example? And what we were hearing from a lot of the speakers was this term, being an influencer, to cut off the voices of secular influencers, which is a term used on social media for people that have a big following because of something that they are, something that they do, and it's usually something crazy, stupid, you know, ungodly that they're doing. But what about young people of God who make God's word a priority? And this is what came forth so powerfully during the week. What about them rising up to be influencers? Hallelujah. What do you think, Laura? Is it possible?
There was just a lot of students that came in and towards the beginning of the week and just, you know, maybe almost seemed lost or just overwhelmed by their circumstances. But as the light, you know, we know darkness can't stand in the light. And as the light, it was so bright up here, not just the lights, but the Holy Spirit, that people were just drawn. They were loved. They encountered Jesus. They encountered acceptance. They encountered the love, the Father's heart. And as truth was declared and as they started to hear his promises for them, they started experiencing some of these things, you know, hearing from the Lord and visions and destiny and breakthrough. And it just, just that became the norm of the camp. That became the focus. You know, the focus was not on the brokenness. It was not on
Hallelujah.
Who was popular on TikTok this week. It was what was happening here.
Hallelujah.
And they Hallelujah. Were encouraged to be the ones that. To go out with that.
Hallelujah. Why do you think We Want Revival Now really resonates with the youth?
What I saw during the week, when, you know, they were chanting that, it really looked like to me like it was a cry, you know, especially like a cry out for help. And it kind of looked like that group of people represented our generation. Like we were standing in for those who, you know, didn't know the Lord yet and those who didn't, you know God or turned away from him for, you know, a little while, but, you know, they're going to come back. And I don't know, kind of like our, how do I say it? Like our statement, you know, we want revival, you know, we need more kind of thing.
You know, there was a lot of teaching on truth versus lies. You know, we're living in a world right now where you have situational ethics, you know, and confusion over identity and gender and all that, and fake news. You know, that term is so popular. And kids want to know, what is truth? What is the truth? And so there's a lot of emphasis on the Word of God is the truth. It's not about your truth, but it's about God's truth. Not your truth, not what you decide is truth for you, but it's God's truth. I want to put this scripture up because this was preached this week in 2 Timothy 3:16. You know John 3:16. Well, this is 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I heard Michelle Skorsky say, don't expect to receive a prophetic word if you're not in the written word. You know? And it's amazing. The last night with Catherine Mullins, I'd not heard her before speak. I had seen her lead worship. She was a worship leader at the Ramp for years. Now she's out on her own. But what the message Friday night, and by the way, you can get all these messages on demand on our website at thefamily.church website. They're all archived. But Friday night, she gave this tremendous word pointing out that the social media version of life is not the whole story, that the Word of God tells the whole story. And what she was pointing out was that social media doesn't talk about the consequences. You know, I mean, they make, glamorize, you know, a lot of the rap music is glamorized, and it's so evil. A lot of the rap music is so evil. It talks about domestic violence and sex violence and gun violence, and it's just very violent. But it doesn't talk about the consequences of sin. But the Bible does. The Bible says, in this world you shall receive tribulation. That's the whole truth. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I thought that was really well told. And Bianca, you're talking about that the kids are looking for truth and looking for love in all the wrong places, you know. But Stephen, you get inspired at times to where you start making the declarations. Is that something that you can explain?
Well, somebody needs something. Whatever it is, could be a push, could be a word, could be a phrase, could be something. And like I said, I come with that idea, I open my mouth, and God fills it. I just start word vomiting things out. And to me, sometimes it doesn't always make sense to me, but it doesn't have to make sense to me. It's not about me. You know, it's about them, God, and that's it.
You know, I've been saying this, but I think that's preaching. You know, I never wanted to be a preacher, and he probably doesn't either want to be a preacher. But you know how it started for me? Yeah. I was in it, you know, we had a singing group, and I was interested in music. I was playing an instrument like you guys are. But what happened to me is I started having an unction to make a declaration. It had to be said. Something had to be said, not just sung. It had to be said. That's why I'm picking on him a little bit. And there came a point where my group started saying to me, said, Phil, you know, we called them VPs. We always had verbal presentations between the songs and had them, you do this, you do it this time, that time. Said, Phil, you're talking too much. You know, your verbal presentation, it sounds like you're preaching. I said, oh, no, I'm not preaching. But I couldn't keep from having to declare what I felt God was saying. Now, I just want to say that to all of you because I believe that's what God expects of us when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Not to have a church and pound a pulpit somewhere, but when you are moved on by the Holy Spirit in the marketplace, on the job, in school, wherever, to where you can declare the word of the Lord. We have the authority to do that, to declare it. And I love seeing all of you step out in boldness in that way.
And, you know, Pastor Phil, that, you know, when we were talking a few minutes ago about how 80% of the young people, when they can make their own decision whether they're going to go to church or not, are leaving the church. They're not leaving the church because of rebellion. They're leaving the church because they feel like they've learned they've learned everything they know, and they know everything about God. Because in a lot of churches, especially in America, and a lot of children's ministries and youth ministries, they don't allow the Holy Spirit to move. They don't teach this. So what happens is they come and they hear story after story of David and Goliath and the three Hebrew children and, you know, Moses in the basket and let my people go. And they're great stories. They're stories that we all need to know. But when you've heard them from birth all the way through high school, you can see where they're coming from. But what they need is they need the word and they need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I believe that God is pouring his spirit out in the churches that will allow him today, because the Holy Spirit's been pushed out of a lot of churches today. They've not made room for him to move. And that's what we're doing here and what we do in our children's ministry and our youth ministries. We give them the opportunity to be used and to learn. We teach them to hear the voice of God. You know, as you were talking about rap music, you know, it just, again, the stuff that this generation is listening to, it would blow your mind if you would look at the lyrics of these songs. You know, if you play in the mud, you're going to get muddy. Yeah. If you're listening to stuff that, you know, is talking about anxiety and killing and being disrespectful to your parents and cuss word after cuss word, it's going to get in you. And if it gets in you, it's going to come out of you.
Yeah. And these rap artists are glorified.
They are.
You know, and they're multimillionaires, you know. They're making money on this garbage, and it's demonic. I want to show you another scripture that's got the word prepared in it. We'll put it up here because I think it helps us understand that God wants to use everybody. Red and yellow, black and white, you know, and we want to be a multi-generational, multicultural church, multicolored church. We don't see color. We just see the power of God moving through vessels. 2 Timothy 2:20, it says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And sometimes we think that you got to be gold or silver to be honorable. But this verse, it shows you that you got to just cleanse yourself, no matter whether you're just common, ordinary wooden clay, earth. You can still be honorable if you're useful to the master. It says, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, meaning the dishonor, he will be a vessel unto honor, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared. There it is, prepared to do any good work. And we heard it preached over and over this week. You know, be a doer of the word. Be a doer, not just a hearer. You know, and make the right choices on a daily basis, because, you know, you become a product of your choices. Then Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. And the word workmanship in the Greek is poema. It's like where we get our English word poem. You're God's work of art. And he's constantly got his hands on you, working on you, cutting away the things that need to go in order to reveal him, reveal himself in you, so you can see yourself with all the potential as he sees you. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The sculptor sees your potential. You know, I'd like for any one of you to speak out on this. I noticed that so many of the youth receive prayer for wrestling with their identity. You know, and we know that we preach that God gives us a new identity, but it's difficult for young people sometimes to get beyond how they see themselves, or maybe somebody else, how they see them. Help us understand that in the culture of the youth. I want you to speak to this idea of all the pressure to look a certain way, act a certain way, that's out there today.
So I think, you know, the main reason for that is from experience. Like, my friends and I, especially us girls, have experienced that. And, you know, we've noticed it's from social media. We see all these other girls and all these, you know, who were like, oh, I wish we looked like them. And which is, you know, it shouldn't be like that. And, you know, we see all these people's lives and clothes, and it's just kind of that thought of, oh, you know, what I have isn't good enough, or
right,
kind of like comparison, social standards, which is, you know, not true. But that's a huge lie that's kind of been created through our generation, especially through social media.
Laura, I've seen you get your arms around some of the young girls and cry with them and pray over them. And have you been through some stuff?
I have. you know, I think any identity, well, it's any identity other than who we are in Christ. You know, even in the church, we want to identify as a worship leader, as a youth leader, as the best servant, as the best at any given thing. And in my life, and I think, you know, when we strive for any of those things, even if it's in the church, when it comes crashing down, or when a hole gets poked in it, or when we get disappointed, when life comes and when we realize that if it's built on anything but Christ, then it will crumble. You know, it's sand.
Hallelujah.
And so just God has done so much in my life. I should not be here. I should not be here. And every time I come to worship and I walk into this house and this place and this family, I know that because of my actions and because of things that I built my life on, I should be somewhere far away. But because of his grace and because of his mercy, I'm here. And we're all here. I'm sure many of you share this testimony. And so now I'm on fire. We're on fire, all of us, to just pour it out. So that's why we're here.
I'm going to move through some of this, some of the other verses that were preached on this week. I'm not going to take the time for them here, but being a living sacrifice, you know, this is your true and proper worship. I love that scripture in Romans 12:1. I want to remind us of Michelle Skorsky's teaching Thursday night, when she talked about how when Cortez came to discover this nation, you know, he came looking for riches. He had 11 ships, and in order to keep any of his people to think about going back, the first thing he did was burn all the ships. This is a historical record, to burn all the ships, and it made me think about how Elisha, when he was called, he was a wealthy farmer. He had 12 yoke of oxen and plows, and when Elijah came to him and said, God's called you, you know, with a prophetic anointing, and he sacrificed all the oxen. He burned up all the plows. He burned all his bridges so he had nothing to go back to. You know, and that message came out so strong that, you know, we've got to live with kind of, I think she used the term a martyr's call, you know, that, you know, we see in Scripture that the people that were around the throne room loved not their life even unto death. But I wanted to get to this song. I'm going to put it up here because you sang it here today, and we've never sang it here before in the church. But I've been declaring that this is a house of miracles, because the testimony of a miracle in your life can't be denied. And we saw this when the disciples got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they started laying that we need to start believing for miracles. Come alive. In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. And I know we're going to be singing that more. And I appreciate you guys bringing that and just going back and forth between these declaration songs, because we're with you 100%. Anything you want to add to? I'm going to wrap it up here so that we can let you respond to this. It was this verse that inspired you, Pastor Sue, to come up with this word prepared for this camp in Luke 1:17, and it reflects on Elijah. This was when the angel of God announced John the Baptist's birth to his parents. The angel said, he will go before the Lord as a forerunner to the coming of Christ. Just like Elijah, he'll be calling the nation to repentance and the coming of Christ. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Hallelujah. Prepared for the Lord. And I think miracles are a powerful tool. Elijah, remember when he called fire from heaven? He was preaching and people weren't listening. Finally, he got up and he said, let's have a contest. Let's have a contest and see whose God performs a miracle, fire from heaven. And you see in the scripture, the people said, this is good. You've got my attention. This is good. Miracles. So I say, young people, keep prophesying, keep declaring. When you have a miracle out on the street, man, those people that received a miracle will follow you to church. You don't have to beg them to come to church. They want to find out, you know, more about this God of miracles. Hallelujah. Pastor Sue, you did such a great job leading this camp. We thank you. And, you know, we want to keep this Spirit of God rolling. And I want it to encompass and embrace not only our whole church, but your life, your families, your children, your grandchildren. You know, like I said, we're building a spiritual ark of safety here in these last days. And it begins with your own family. And we don't want anybody to quit, but you keep fighting. You gave such a powerful closing Friday night at the end of everything about the Navy SEAL Hell Week. And I don't know, you don't have to tell the whole story, but there was something about that was designed. It was so tough 5.5 days of grueling testing and training so that when they got out on the battlefield of life, you know, that they wouldn't quit. Say a few words about it.
You know, it's so true. You know, so many times in our life, we're on the mountaintop and we're praising God, and then something hits us, and then we're low. And then, you know, we don't even look to God. You know, we cry out to each other, but not to the one who created us. Well, like Pastor said, when a Navy SEAL goes through training, they go through Hell Week, and it is absolutely, it's unbelievable what they go through. It'll break anybody. But what happens is Marcus Luttrell was one of the Navy SEALs, and he was in 2005, he went into a mission called the Red Wing Mission, where there were 4 Navy SEALs sent in to search out someone that was pretty high up in Al-Qaeda. And as they came over one ridge, they ran into a goat herder and a ton of goats with his young son. And the mission became compromised. So they tied him up and they tied him to a tree. And the 4 of them went to communicate to each other to say, you know we need to execute these 2. Because if we don't, our mission is ruined. But they decided all 4 unanimously to let them live. And 2 hours later, they were in the fight for their life. The mountain was completely surrounded. They were taking rocket grenades and all kinds of things and literally blew them off the mountain. To make a long story short, 3 of them were killed except for Marcus Luttrell. Marcus Luttrell had his back broken. Shrapnel was in all over his legs. His back was actually broke, I think, in 2 or 3 places. His nose was broke so bad it was actually pushed into his, just kind of giving you a picture of how hurt he was. He couldn't walk at all. And he began to draw a line in the sand with a rock, and he would pull himself over that line. And he said, if my feet touch that line and I'm still alive, I'm going to do it again. So he drew the line again, and he pulled himself again, and he did it again and again. Church, he pulled himself like that for 7 miles.
Wow.
7 miles. When he was interviewed later, they said, what gave you the drive to keep moving? He said, when I was back at Hell Week, I eliminated my option to quit.
Yes.
I decided way back then that I'm not quitting no matter what. A Navy SEAL's motto is we don't quit. You'll have to kill us. That's the only way that'll stop us. Yeah, church, that's how we should be. I mean, my goodness, one little thing happens, one little bump in the road, and we're crying out, and we walk in failure. No wonder the world doesn't want what we have.
Hallelujah.
It's time for us to stop blinking and start shining God's light.
Hallelujah.
They're watching us. They're watching how you're responding to everything.
Hallelujah.
I love the Jesus shirts because, you know, we all wear them. And there's a lot of times I'll be in the store and I'll have my Jesus shirt on and something will happen, you know, and you're just like, oh. Praise the Lord. And under your breath, you're like, argh. But, you know, it's helping me. And I want to tell you, church, just like Cortez, he eliminated the option to fail.
Yeah.
If you read the story and you search the history books, he sent out 500 soldiers and 100 sailors. And they took over and brought down an empire. And if you search it, it's all because they all bought in. They didn't have a choice because he had eliminated the option to fail. But they believed it. Believe it. Get in the word.
Hallelujah.
Stand on the truth.
Amen.
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 It's time, guys, to let signs and wonders follow you.
Hallelujah.
It's time for you to be used by God.
Hallelujah.
Not just to sit in church. It's time. Come on, clap, man. Let's time. Do we want revival? Do we want revival? It starts with us. Pastor Phil, I believe with all my heart that I'm like, is it today, God? Is it today, God? I believe that God is touching this place.
Amen.
It's not the building, it's us.
Yes.
It's us. When we sing about the house of miracles, it's us. We're the house of miracles.
Hallelujah.
It's God in us. We need
Amen.
To let out.
Amen.
But I believe that the day's coming that people are going to start pouring into this place. They have no idea why they're driving back here. They have no idea why they're coming in. But the Holy Spirit is pulling them in. And I believe we're going to see the greatest revival this nation has ever seen. And you want to know why? Because we're not afraid to let the Holy Spirit move. We'll make room for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Pastor.
Let's all stand. I want to have the house lights up, and I want to invite you to come to the front. If you need to come to the front to say, I want to burn the bridges of the past. You know, some of you still wrestling with issues in the past. Listen, God isn't. He's not the God of the past. He's the God of today and your future. And so I'm going to invite some of the young people here that are on fire to lay hands on, just to gather around you. If you want to come and make that declaration, we're going to sing this song again, Come Alive in the Name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. If you need a miracle and you didn't get down here yet, you come to the front, because I believe as we come into unity with this message, we are going to see the fruit of revival. And that's something that's personal to everybody. It's not going to look like it has in the past. It's going to be a revival of God's presence and power in each of our lives. So we just open the, we want to close with this, but stay until I give a benediction today. And let's make that declaration. If you can put the words up on the screen again, come alive in the name of Jesus.